There is the difference between keeping your job or getting fired. The answer is the difference between staying in your home or getting evicted. The answer is the difference between receiving medical treatment or not. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against people based on their answer to this question. LGBT Americans have the right to say, "I do," but they don't have the same basic rights as everyone else. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
The time is now.
Everybody, party's over!
Do tune in at 5 o'clock so you can catch Chris Earle with Time Travel.
Sorry, a couple of nitwits.
Chris Earle is at the ready. Time Travel will be taking over the controls in just a minute.
I'll chase him. Of Libya and round the Antares maelstrom and round perdition's flames before I give him up.
Merry Christmas to one and all. Happy holidays from the people at WMFO. Merry Christmas to Chris Earle and the crew at Time Travel right here on 91.5 FM.
My mommy always said there were no monsters, but there are.
Here comes Chris Earle.
This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand. Wax on, right hand. On. Wax off, left wax hand. On, right wax hand. On. Wax, wax off, off, left hand. Wax on, right wax hand. On. Wax off, left wax hand. On, right wax hand. On. Wax, wax off, off, left hand. Wax on, wax off.
Listen to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM on your radio dial.
Listen to Time Travel with Chris Earle.
Here with Chris Earle on 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me you built a time machine?
Get away from her, you bitch!
Happy holidays, it's WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Time Travel and here at Wowie with you till 9.
Well, it's Christmas time again. Decorations are hung by the fire. Everybody's singing. Kids come get down. And Christmas is a rockin' time. Put your body next to mine. Underneath the mistletoe, we go. We go. Down our block, little kids
start to rock. Christmas is a rocking time. Put your body next to mine. Underneath the mistletoe, we go. We go. Merry Christmas time. Come and find you. Happy and thereby. Your fire. I hope you have a good one. I hope mama gets the shopping done. And it's a Christmas all over again. Oh baby, it's Christmas all over again. It's Christmas all over again. Now let's see. I want a new Rickenbacker guitar, two Fender bassmans, Chuck Berry songbook, xylophone.
This is Michael Bublé, wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once a more.
It's Christmas Eve and I've only wrapped two fucking presents. Christmas Eve and I've only wrapped two fucking presents. And I hate, hate, hate your guts. I hate, hate, hate your guts. And I'll never talk to you again.
Unless your dad will suck me off.
I'll never talk to you again.
Unless your mom will touch my car.
I'll never talk to you again.
Ejaculate into a song.
I'll never talk to you again. I'll never talk to you again.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. It's Time Travel. And here at WOW.
Please come home.
And we are here with you until 9 p.m. doing Christmas songs and our annual Christmas battle. We each pick 10 songs. And then our judges, a selection of our peers, will judge us on who has the better song each round. Hello to Jim and Derek and Winston. How you guys doing?
Terrific.
I'm dreaming of a Squanto Christmas.
Squanto.
I'm doing good.
We're working out microphones over here. There we go.
Yeah.
We've got like three microphones, but for some reason there's only two, like, you know, over here. I was like, what? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Save that fight for later in the show.
Quickest year in recent memories? Yes and no. It was for me.
I have been... between the late Thanksgiving and the Christmas in the middle of the week and just everything else is going on, I have been confused and frightened for this entire holiday season.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that that's not just the spirit of Christmas and I'm doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, big fat double snowstorm in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah. These three-day snowstorms aren't helping matters any either. I don't know why we're getting those now.
Yeah. Yeah. I found out my uncle had passed away in 97. I just found out this morning or this afternoon.
Sorry to hear
that. Yeah, it's a bummer. Yeah, he's great.
Is that the one down in New Jersey?
Yeah. So it looks like I may be going down to Jersey this weekend, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But
Sorry to hear that, Chris.
No, thank you. Yeah, he's a great guy. Lived a long life, but of course, as I say, the person that's 97 years old is thinking, you know, people think that's a long life, but that person's thinking, I want to live to 98.
Yeah.
He's still got stuff to live for, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
And he had a great family down there in Jersey. And it's a bummer, but, you know, it just was a very, very quick year to me. It's just like, wow. Of course, I spent the last quarter of it sitting in a chair, drooling.
Yes.
Yeah. The
waiting for your knee to heal.
Waiting for my knee to heal with a lot of drugs pumped in me.
It's a major surgery. Yeah. Takes out a big chunk of that year for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I time traveled. I pretty much went from October to December pretty much overnight this year.
Of course, a week after I saw you, I hurt my knees.
Yeah.
And proceeded to spend 6 weeks hobbling around in extreme pain.
Yeah.
The
worst injuries are backs, knees, shoulders, the things that are internal that you can't see. You know, you wish you had that thing that Bones has in Star Trek where he just kind of waves a salt shaker at you, and the thing turns blue or green, tells you whether you're okay or you need a pill.
I'll take a shoulder injury because I've torn my rotator.
You had the rotator cuff surgery?
No, but I
tore it.
Yeah, I'll take that over knee or back any day of the week because you can live surprisingly well without a shoulder.
A sling, you're good.
Yeah, like the knees, you're using those things a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. You don't realize how much you use them until...
It hurts every time you try.
Yeah. Until they don't work anymore, and you're like, oh, how do I get places now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty, pretty much why I did it.
Welcome to Geriatric Christmas.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
We'll be talking about the buffet later.
Yeah. We're talking about injuries and buffets. Yes.
Brought to you this holiday season by Geritol and... The American
Corral.
The American Association of Retired Persons.
And
you can join when you're 55 now.
And, of course, Anison.
Yes.
I've been getting the AARP stuff in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
I already am.
Yep, I already got some, too. I'm like, what? No, stop.
No.
Stop.
Yeah.
It is funny. It's like I'm either getting a bill or something from healthcare. That's pretty much what the mail has become for
yeah.
me. And ads, of course.
That's the rest of your life from
yeah.
here on in. It's,
yeah.
it's paying bills and waiting to go to the doctor.
You know what's funny is you get all those things where they want you. They're like, oh, go green, because it's going to save them money. Right? But if you do go green, you can't go green on, like, the pamphlets and stuff. That's the only thing. I'd rather be able to go green with all those ads you get in the mail and then have it go to your spam box. That'll never happen.
That'd be a win.
No, because then you'd never read them.
Yeah. I don't know. U.S. Mails, I worked there for a little while, and I'm like, yeah. It's like it's on its way out. You know? Beatles in the background.
Okay. We love the Beatles in the background.
Yeah, Beatles did how many records? Six
yeah.
Christmas records or five? Was it six, right?
So I got to ask.
I think it was six.
I got to ask you, this: how many years have we been doing this Christmas battle?
We've been doing it seven.
So this is 7 years.
Yeah.
So is this year seven or have we done 7 years and this is year eight?
No, this is year seven.
This is year. Yeah. So we've played.
Because I did Thanksgiving stuff we did first before
right.
Christmas.
So between the two of us, we have played somewhere in the vicinity of 65 Christmas songs, because we've had some tiebreakers in there.
Right.
We've played
oh, right.
about 65 yeah. Christmas songs.
Yeah. 75. Well, yeah, 65.
Cause it'll be 75 after tonight.
Yep.
I'm out each.
You don't have any left?
I'm walking around this year looking for stuff, and I'm like, man, there's nothing.
I went outside of my outside of the box a little bit this year too. Because there was a lot of stuff that I liked that I wanted to play over the years that I never played, but I just did it on my regular show. But I'm like, no, I want to research a little bit. So I found a few things. So
I,
a few things were searched and found on the internet from Christmases past.
Yeah.
And I just thought, geez, this was pretty good when I saw it on the internet the first time. It was a Christmas one. So a little bit of time I spent on it.
I managed to dig up enough stuff, but I'm sitting there and I'm like, there's a certain standard that I have for songs that I play on this show,
mm-hmm.
and it's sort of, the best way I can describe it is, when the first notes of the Bee Gees' Stayin' Alive come over speakers or your headphones or whatever,
yep.
there's like a change in your whole attitude, and you're like, this is amazing.
Right.
Whatever you're doing, you're like, wait, what is this? This is amazing. And that's what I'm looking for, and we're done.
Yeah.
Like, we've played all of that. And now it's into, all right, what else is there? Because every single Christmas album that came out this year
mm-hmm.
is Broadway star or recording star backed by a big band right. doing another version of Let It Freakin' Snow.
Yeah, there's a lot of, that's right. Most of the new albums, it's like they're just doing these standard classics now from like the last half century.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's like, let's hear another version of White Christmas or... You know,
no one asked for this.
No,
it's too much. Either that, or it's like, you know what? If there was a Billie Eilish Christmas song, I could get into that because at least that'd be different.
Yeah,
there is no Billie Eilish Christmas song.
Oh, I found a great song from ABC. You remember that band from the 80s?
Yeah,
they did like a Christmas record like two years ago, and it's basically Martin Fry and whoever he hires for the day is ABC now, because he's the only one left in the band. But there was. There's always usually a rock band that'll come out with something good, but nothing. I used to enjoy waiting for the Killers to come out with their new Christmas, and they haven't done that in like 3-4 years now. They did 10 of them, and then they called it quits.
Did you hear the Bryan Adams thing?
I think I did actually.
I
think that's one of the ones I'm thinking about. There's a new Bryan Adams Christmas song, right?
Well, there's a new Bryan Adams Christmas song that's terrible.
Okay.
But the EP has also got Bryan Adams doing Must Be Santa. And it's
no one
asked for Bryan Adams to do Must Be Santa.
Yeah, well...
No rock and roller should be doing Must Be Santa.
Oh, no, the Bob Dylan version of that is, like, one of the most embarrassing things ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on with Bob Dylan? It's like he's lost his mind.
How did this happen?
Yeah.
Well, how did we get to this point? I know you need the money guy,
mm-hmm.
but pick a different song.
Mm-hmm. Springsteen in the background. See, I still think this is a great song. Even now... Like, this has been around pretty much my whole lifetime. I listen to the radio because, you know, this came big, especially after
Born to Run and 85, Born in the USA.
85, I think, was when they first started saturating the airwaves with this.
Yeah, see, it's played a lot, but I still think it's good. I think it's kind of fixated itself into Christmas.
Didn't like it then, don't like it now.
Really?
I don't know what it is.
Come on, Clarence, the big man.
You're
not a huge Bruce fan, though, to begin with, right?
I'm not a huge... I like Bruce Springsteen. There's some Bruce Springsteen songs that I adore, all right? Yeah. Born to Run, play it all day, play it all night. Freaking amazing. This just doesn't do it for me. I don't know what it is.
I think it's fun because you didn't hear a whole lot of bands taking some time out and just playing something fun for their fans.
Yeah.
You know, which I thought was kind of cool. You know, now it's become kind of more mainstream. You know, get a concert toward Christmas and they're going to play something.
I'm also still, you know, I still have PTSD from 1985 when this was literally every other song on the radio. It's like, hey, we're going to play some Phil Collins. Hey, here's Bruce Springsteen again. Hey, here's the new Hall & Oates. Hey, here's Bruce Springsteen again.
That's true. Like,
number one Christmas song, Bruce Springsteen.
Used to play that all the time.
They used to do their top 10 Christmas songs. It was always the wait, the rapper or whatever, the Christmas rapper.
Christmas Rapping by the Waitresses.
And then you'd get...
Great song.
The Kinks.
Father Christmas, Give Me Some Money.
Jethro Tull and...
You can take your pick of two songs from that Jethro Tull album.
Yeah, and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. They played that all the time. And Santa Claus and His Old Lady. Yep. It was good.
We've played all of those at some point or another.
Sure. Pretty much all of those have shown up.
I don't think we've ever done. I don't think we've ever done. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Because
no, we haven't.
You and I have taste.
No, exactly.
That was that was funny for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
When you're at 12.
Yeah. Or like the Chipmunks one. I've always hated the Chipmunks one too. You never played that one, right? The Chipmunks.
There's I don't hate that. I don't think I've ever played it. There's a different version of it that I have. That's actually a promo for a toy store.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good because most of it goes along like the usual one. And then at the end, they're singing about how this is the place to go to get toys.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a nice little... It's like the Charlie Brown Christmas was originally made for the Coca-Cola bottlers. And
there
are pieces of it. There's a piece of the intro that's been hacked off because Linus or Charlie Brown, I think it's Linus, goes flying into a sign and the snow falls off of it. And
it
says,
Coca-Cola, right?
Brought to you by your Coca-Cola bottlers.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. It's one of the... I think it's available on YouTube somewhere. If you go looking for it, you can find it.
I definitely will.
But there are deleted scenes from A Charlie Brown Christmas.
I'm going to see if I can find it right
all
now.
All that stuff now is, you know, it's being... with
I got it.
Today's...
Look at that.
Society
oh, yeah.
rules, all that stuff's getting lopped off here and there.
Here we go.
I got it. It's right here. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let me see if it's got anything to it here. Charlie Brown Christmas title.
Yeah, so Snoopy's spinning Charlie Brown and Linus around. We see Charlie Brown hit the tree. We remember that part of it. And we got the Charlie Brown Christmas title. But then...
Here we go.
Linus gets spun off. Brought to you by the people in your town who bottle Coca-Cola.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Basically, nobody wants to give Coca-Cola a free advertisement now.
Because
they lost the rights to it, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but interestingly, I don't think that's even, for all of the Blu-rays and DVDs that have been put out of that over the years, it hasn't shown up on any of those.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can think of is that it gets into some kind of a licensing issue where Coca-Cola's like, no, we're not going to let you show that. Like, why?
It'd be the opposite.
Yeah.
My guess is they don't want to give them a free ad because then they'll want some money from Coca-Cola, whoever's broadcasting it.
Or Pepsi's got an ad already and they're not too thrilled about it.
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho. It was interesting. I finished...
Oh, the Pepsi ad with that awful woman.
That
awful woman?
That leaves virtually all of them.
No, the really odd. Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, why is Nicki Minaj?
Yeah.
Like, are you... You're like a family-friendly, like, soft drink company, right? Why is Nicki Minaj the feature of your holiday ad?
That's crazy. You know what? I don't even know how I went down this rabbit hole, but all of a sudden I was watching Nicki Minaj with Ellen, and Ellen said, you have so many young... kids and daughters look up to you. What do you think when you're doing all that sex stuff and you're swearing? And she goes, well, I think, well, I'm not their parents.
Yeah.
Like that, and that's a typical attitude of 2019.
Yeah.
With this younger generation. I don't want to get into a generational war, but it's basically like, oh, it has nothing to do with me. I'm putting the blame on somebody else. The parents should be more involved in the person's lives than have these eight-year-old kids listening to my album. That's just ridiculous.
As near as I can tell, that Nicki Minaj Pepsi commercial disappeared pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it lately.
I've never even seen it.
Yeah, I think it went away, too. But
it's like, and now here's Big John Holmes for Coca-Cola. You know, it's like, what?
Actually, I'd buy more Coke, I think. Absolutely. Yeah, with John Holmes behind the... Yeah, because you know you're going to get a big bottle. Yeah.
Oh, I had this is here's another thing to make me go a little gray. I have gotten some white hair show up in my head for the first time. So I think it's either a little bit of trauma from just life or the last few months. But there was a guy, I've been going to physical therapy, and the guy was in there and we're doing rehab, and it was this young kid. And he wasn't too young, so he's about 29, 30. And I was wearing a shirt that says Smoking Joe Frazier that I got, that my brother bought me. It's an awesome shirt. And he didn't know who Joe Frazier was, so I said he was a boxer and he fought Muhammad Ali, and still a blank face. And I'm like, do you know who Muhammad Ali is? And he's like, is he a boxer? I go, yeah. I go, yeah, he's a boxer. And I go, do you know what boxing is? I'm like, what is going on here?
Because it's MMA now.
Well, the first thing I said was Thrilla in Manila. Right? And he's like, wait a second, Muhammad Ali. And he's and still blank face. I'm like, oh my God.
Did you ask him if he knew what a George Foreman grill was?
Yeah. Or World War II for that matter.
Yeah.
Does World War II exist anymore?
This is a problem with the millennials. They haven't ever faced adversity.
But what gets me, and this
or
is
a
what
history
makes
class,
me so,
apparently.
Yeah.
It annoys me so much. It's like, get on your phone and Google it.
Yeah.
You know, looking up. It's like, if I don't know what something is, usually, like, just you mentioned the Lions thing. I'm like, well, that'd be interesting. Let's look it up. And it's not like, well, we can learn a little bit more about what's going on here. He had no interest, like zero at all. And I'm like, you got a phone, looking up.
Yeah.
I had the meanest English teacher in high school. I thought she was awesome. Everybody else thought she was the meanest person ever, had this reputation. She had been there like 30 plus years. The first thing she had us do was go out and get a specific dictionary for the AP, college writing class in high school. And the first thing to get was a giant dictionary. It was like $40, and we had to put it underneath the seat. And when we were going through our papers or reading our papers, Sonny didn't know a word. She'd like, what does that word mean? Nobody had any idea. She'd have us look it up on the dictionary.
Yeah.
But still, one of the best teachers I think I ever had, because she was such a bitch, but she was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was right. It's like, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Look it up.
Yeah.
It's like, don't use that word if you don't know how to use it.
One of the greatest figures of the 20th century. You should know who Muhammad Ali is. I can give somebody a pass for not knowing Joe Frazier.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But you should know who Muhammad Ali is.
Yeah.
You should know what the Thriller in Manila is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the greatest moments in sports history.
Right. Well, and the thing is here I am with a physical therapist, and, you know, it's sports injuries. You would figure he would know that, but no, he had no clue.
Well, it wasn't a sports injury in your case, but, you
know. Well, it was. It was.
What sports were you participating in?
I used to run. That's where my original injury came from. It's cross-country running.
30 years ago.
Yeah, but that's where the injury... That's how I was walking around with my pain for 30 years. The meniscus busted on me because it got, you know, older.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad. I didn't fall on the tracks. Didn't you just fall on the tracks?
Yes, I fell on the train tracks. Shut up.
No, I actually did a sport.
Shut up. I was coming back from sports. I just watched the Patriots.
I know those tracks. Those are tough.
You do not want to fall on those tracks. So, let me tell you that right now.
So there were sports around both events that we had.
Yes.
Knee injuries, yeah. So in the background, Frosty the Snowman, the Ronettes, I believe, from that wonderful Phil Spector album.
Which we've covered all of.
Yes, yes.
We haven't covered all of it, but it's like once you've played like your favorite track from it, it's... We're not going back to that well.
Yeah. It's like that's one of the ones where I think I came in here either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day and I did like 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think I'm going to play the entire Phil Spector album.
Why not?
I was like, why not? It's Christmas. I think it was Christmas Day, which was also, I was telling Jim the story about the manger that was on fire in front of the...
Yes.
in City Hall. Center at City Hall.
That manger never came back. The manger never recovered from the fire.
It's all going to go away eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm actually going to do...
Jesus got burned out of Medford.
I'm going to do Christmas Day. You're doing Christmas Day.
I'm going to be here.
Week from today.
I'll be here Christmas night. I've got some albums that were put out by the Veterans Administration in the, I think I've got 69 to 71.
Oh, yeah?
It might be 68 to 70. I know Nixon is on one of these things. And these were albums, every year the Veterans Administration would put out an album for all the soldiers who were in the hospital during Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a who's who of Hollywood talent of the time. Like Bob Hope is all over these things. Bing Crosby is on these things.
Yep.
Anne Marie is on them. And it's all well-known entertainers of the time. Basically, like, recording something to say thank you for your service, trying to uplift their spirits.
Right.
Like, you know, you're in the hospital with a head injury on Christmas. So we're going to try and...
It's like you got nothing else to do. Listen to this album.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
You'll be just sitting there.
So I figure by 7 o'clock on Christmas night, most people are going to be sitting around as if they've suffered a head injury. You know, they're either nog-induced semi-coma or just fed up with the family. Mm-hmm. There's nothing but basketball on that night. So, you know, tune in and get some history.
I agree.
Holiday-themed history, no less. From a time in America where we could say, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
They have a rare Christmas Patriots Saturday game
this
week, which I'm very excited about.
Indeed. I'm going to what may be Tom Brady's final game in Foxborough a week from Sunday.
Yeah.
You thinking they're going to lose to Buffalo Sunday and then they're not going to be at home for the wild card round?
Last regular season game.
Okay.
They're not... We know they're not going to be home for the AFC Championship game. We know that's happening in Baltimore.
Baltimore's going to blow it.
Baltimore is so not going to blow it.
Oh, they are.
They're legit.
I mean, one way or another.
They're good, but they're
going
to blow it.
One way or another, we're going there because they've got the game up on us. They're the number one seed.
They're the number one seed for sure, but I don't think they're going to make it.
So we'll get the divisional round playoff game in Foxborough. Hopefully we beat the Bills on Saturday so that we're not playing a wild card game.
Yeah, but, that'd be kind of sad.
Yeah, I do not want to have to play a wild card game because then maybe we don't get the divisional round.
Last time we did that, it was against Baltimore, and that did not work well. Ray Rice made us look like we never.
Yeah.
I didn't play that day, but the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, you were on IR. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one good thing in that situation is we would not be playing Baltimore or Kansas City in that game. You're probably going to wind up either in Houston or Buffalo.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Either or. If we're at that point, that means we're not good enough probably to do what we need to do anyways.
So, a lot will be revealed. Actually, we'd have to lose both games. We'd have to lose to Buffalo and we'd have to lose to...
Miami. Miami's better than when we played them.
To lose the division.
Yeah.
So we will get the number 4 seed at a minimum. And we'll get that bye week and we'll get the division championship. And we'll get the divisional round. Before we get our heads handed to us in Baltimore.
We have to really just take a step back and think about the discussion we're having now.
Yeah.
That, you know, most of the teams in the NFL would kill to be in this position.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
And we're sitting here saying, yeah, you know, we're not going to be good enough to do what it needs to do, which for us is win a Super Bowl every other year.
But let's look at the other side of this, because I said something very provocative at the outset. I'm going to see Tom Brady's last regular season game at Gillette.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the implication being that he's leaving.
This is it. I think this is it.
But, yeah, he's going to go somewhere at the end of the
game. I don't think he's going to go somewhere. I think he's just going to go. I think he's going to be like, oh, done.
What makes you say that?
There was, there's a couple of things. Having watched Tom Brady all season long, and having watched Tom Brady for many, many years, one of the things about Tom Brady as a quarterback is when he gets nervous, when he gets frustrated, when he is not confident, he throws the ball hard. He throws the ball way too hard.
Yeah.
And that's when you will see a lot of balls that are right in the hands just kind of disappearing.
Nice.
Because he's put so much speed, there's no touch on it. That is just a bullet coming at you. And either you're ready to pull that thing out of the air or you're not. I've seen a lot of that this season.
A lot of drops and, yeah.
And absolutely. That tells me that he's been in a bad headspace all season long. And I think that, coupled with the age...
He needs to play another year or two for TB12.
Yeah. That's his marketing plan.
Yeah.
I don't know that it happens. I really don't know that it happens.
If he wants to play, somebody will...
If he wants to play, so, well, look, if he wants to play...
If Favre unretired today, somebody would sign him, because that's how dumb some of these people are.
The Patriots aren't going to kick him out of town because he's older. If he wants to play, he stays here.
Belichick would.
But I think there's a much bigger question in his, in Brady's mind. Plus, there was an interesting quote from Belichick a couple days ago where he said Brady hasn't been able to do much in practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Several times this season.
He was saying, they were talking about Stidham. His question was more about Stidham and... Who's the third string guy?
Corey Parkey, Beasley, Cole, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That they had re-signed a couple weeks ago when he started first appearing on the injured list again. Yeah. They picked him up.
And this is that's the Peyton Manning thing from Peyton's final season. And Brady and Manning are friends, and there's no doubt in my mind that Brady talks to Peyton Manning about things. Peyton played too long.
Well, he got that last championship.
He got that last championship because that defense bailed them out.
He didn't have much to do with it.
He didn't even play that whole season.
No, he got Osweiler or what? Yeah. Somebody.
So, you know, this may be Tom Brady looking at this and being like, all right, I go out now as the starter. Never missed a game in my career. Decent numbers.
Suspension and injury.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, he missed the whole first season. He didn't play the whole first season.
Right. But since he started, the only games that he's missed were the suspension for four games and then the knee injury.
Yeah, the 15
missed
games.
Missed that season.
Yeah.
Any record that he doesn't have right now, Drew Brees is going to get one way or another. I think Brees has got another season in him, honestly.
At least.
The way that he's playing right now.
Well, it's the same deal there, too. They're not going to let him go until he wants to. New Orleans is not going to say bye. They're going to say, if you want to play, we'll pay you.
Exactly. But if you look at Drew Brees and the way that Drew Brees is playing right now, you look at Tom Brady and the way that Tom Brady is playing right now, one of those quarterbacks still has a lot to give. And the other one is
really
kind of flailing around
out there. Yeah, one of them has weapons and an offensive line.
The offensive line more than the weapons. If he had either.
Yeah, he could do it.
He could do it. He has neither.
He's got neither. So
no tight ends.
And just you watch the...
That Myers kid's horrid.
Yeah, you watch these games when the offensive line is just non-existent on some of
these plays. That Milhouse guy nearly got him killed in the first half of the season.
So I just...
Newhouse.
You know,
I call him Milhouse.
Yeah. They should just put more running backs out there.
I think there's some interesting things that happened. And one of the keys that makes me thinking that maybe he's going somewhere is that he stepped down as co-chair of the Best Buddies.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's another. Well, he put his house on the market, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, even the house in the market, you could say this way or that, but stepping down as part of the Best Buddies.
Because that's a Kennedy thing, right?
The Best Buddies? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Kennedy charity that they run.
But I know he's been involved and he's been very active in it. And it's something that's kind of been near and dear to his heart. So, you know, and I can tell the story about when the year that they had the lockout. Okay, Brady shows up with a couple of some of the Patriots at Boston College to do a practice, and the BC has a school for special needs kids on the campus called the Campus School at Boston College, and so the teachers hear about this. And they take some of the kids over in their wheelchairs just to kind of get a look at Brady. Brady and one of the linemen see this after they're done. No press, no nothing. Walk over and take pictures with the kids.
Oh, that's nice.
So this is something that he's had that's kind of been before Best Buddies even. He was, you know, thinking about that. So that's huge for him. For him to step down... You know, that could be a big indication that maybe he's going somewhere.
Did Boomer Esiason's kid go there?
I don't believe so.
I know he went to BC. I don't know if because I know he had some problems.
I
didn't know if it was there specifically. I know he went to BC because Boomer was here a lot when he was doing radio interviews, and he was in Boston to do some of it.
Yeah, but the campus school is for kids who are highly involved. They've all got big problems.
I think his son did, yeah.
But I think his son is verbal, right? He's
I don't know, because I've never heard him
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got...
Boomer is barely verbal.
Oh, I like Boomer.
I love Boomer.
I'm kidding. I shouldn't joke about that.
It's Phil that's...
No, I like Phil, too.
I used to like Phil. He just started... I don't know.
See, I don't think Boomer's kid went there because my son's there.
Yeah.
My son's been there for the last 8 years.
Well, this was a while ago. He would have been out, I think, already.
You don't get out until you're 22.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
I can ask and find out.
Yeah, I don't remember when he used to do the interviews on the radio all the time.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Gail Clifford is here. Derek's gone down to go get her. I believe Daniela Capolino should be here shortly, as well as Shay Spillane. It is the Battle for Christmas 7 today. We're going to be doing that between 6 and 8, but we'll be here with you until 9. Derek and I have 10 songs each that we're going to play, and we have 6 of our peers here that are going to judge us and tell us which ones that they like and see who wins the coveted Battle for Christmas award. I think I've won all of them but one. Maybe two now. I think I lost two.
Last year was your first loss.
Oh, it was my first loss.
Yeah, last year was the first loss.
Yeah. See what happens, Winston? You didn't come.
I was here last year.
Oh, you were here last year.
Who was the official scorekeeper?
You were here for my... Well, the thing is it came down to Derek's wife. And I said, Molly, you have two things to do. You can either vote with your heart or stay married to Derek. Yeah. I lost by one vote. That's all right. It wasn't my year.
Yeah, that was tight last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie Brown green sleeves in the background. This is kind of jazzy. I've been watching Jeff Goldblum. He's got a show now. He does jazz piano. Sounds a little like this, yeah. But he's doing a show on Disney Plus. It's awesome.
I don't know what to think about him.
It's the world according to Jeff Goldblum. The thing is, to me, he's always acting. I'm like, nobody's that eccentric.
Right.
You know?
He's hamming it up.
He hams it up. Yeah. And sometimes it's genuine, sometimes it's not. You know? But yeah. It's a pretty fun show. Like, he has one on barbecuing, another one on jeans, like denim.
Oh, okay.
Another one on DNA. Tattoos. It gives you like a little background and talks about sneakers and ice cream.
Sneakers in ice cream or and ice cream?
No, two separate episodes. Yeah. But sneakers, he goes to like one of those sneaker conventions and they show like all these gangsters with like rolls of money, you know, selling freaking $3,000, you know, Adidas shoes.
A sneaker convention, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
My brother George is into those sneakers. He's got a ton of them.
Really?
Yeah, he got me a nice pair of sneakers last Christmas. I'm hoping he gets me another one. I'm not going to say anything disparaging.
No. Yeah.
Free sneakers. It's my sneaker connection.
Free kicks.
But yeah, they're nice. He's got some great, great, great sneakers. He said he was out, and he said he never felt cooler until a big black guy came up to him, and he says, "Your feet are strong."
Yeah.
That's what he said to him. I'm like, that's awesome. He says, "Those
Nobody's ever said that to me.
Your feet are strong. Your feet's aren't strong? Oh, they're strong, but not like the ones with George. George has like armor on him, like shiny armor.
Oh,
that's the equivalent. That's the equivalent, probably. Those are really strong.
I mean, I have steel toe boots.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In case anybody wants to kick me.
How is it going up and down a ladder in the winter, Jim?
It's okay. I actually, you know, I'd rather do that than talk to the people inside the house.
That's true. Yeah.
They're all fairly miserable.
You ever slip?
Not yet.
No?
No.
You got good focus. Pay attention.
I have giant feet.
Giant feet?
Yeah, it's hard to fall down.
A couple of our guests have shown up.
How you doing?
We have Gail and Pincus.
Mike Mr. Pincus
is here. As we're getting settled.
Good to see you.
It's WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts. Let's be back in a moment. We'll take a little pause here. WMFO in Medford.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Merry Christmas, everyone. It's WMFO in Medford. We have Elvis in the background, and Mike and Gail have shown up. Mike Pincus and Gail Clifford. Hello, hello.
Season's greetings.
Hey.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good.
All right, excellent.
I'm very good.
Good dialogue there. Thank you.
Gail was just showing a photo of her new granddaughter. Congratulations.
Uh-huh. Thank you. You're nice to mention her.
So how is it being grandmother for the first time? You have is this grandmother for the first time or?
I'm obsessed with her.
Obsessed.
Obsessed. Yeah. I knew I would be obsessed, and I'm beyond obsessed.
Very good. So this is her first Christmas, and how many months old?
She will be 3 months old.
3 months.
I know. Super stinking cute, man.
And what's her name? Do a shout out.
Charlotte Ray.
Charlotte Ray and her parents.
The parents?
Yes.
Oh, Lane and Eric.
Lane and Eric. There's
I love Charlotte Ray. In what movie was Charlotte Ray in?
See, I said that. Charlotte Ray was on The Facts of Life.
That's it. Yeah. I loved her on The Facts of Life.
With Tootie.
Yeah.
Kim Fields, right?
I wasn't a big Kim Fields fan.
Mindy Cohen. And what were we saying? Joe was Joe and Blair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were trying to figure out, one of them had a famous brother that was acting.
Joe did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Joe's brother.
McKeon.
Nancy McKeon.
Yeah.
She was big.
George Clooney was in that.
Who was?
George Clooney.
George Clooney showed up in The Facts of Life, yeah.
Blair was the smoking hot one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But supposedly she was also the most chaste.
Yeah.
Yeah. In real life. She's like super religious.
She Hallmark movies now? Is that her?
She may. Yeah, she may.
What's his name?
Last Refuge of a Scoundrel.
Mm-hmm.
Hallmark movies.
I know what you're talking about.
Versus Patriotism. Yeah.
Did you talk about that on your show, Derek? The Hallmark movie band?
Yeah.
No, because that happened after that whole thing with the gay wedding ad happened after my show last week.
Oh, okay. So. All right. Yeah. So that was pretty bizarre, right? So there was a million women that signed a petition about a gay kiss by two women on a Hallmark show?
On
a Hallmark movie?
So here's what's going on. This is so stupid. This company that makes websites for weddings, because you need that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're getting married. You need a website. No, you really don't. But they submitted 6 commercials to Hallmark, and Hallmark ran with, I think, 4 of the 6 that they submitted. There were 2 that they were like, nah, we'll take these 4. And one of them featured 2 women getting married. Okay, no problem. Who cares, right? Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them because they're in love and, you know, we should celebrate that. So this airs during the Hallmark Christmas movie marathon. And a conservative group called 1 Million Moms basically calls the president of Hallmark, the president of Crown Media, and is like, what are you doing? This is supposed to be family friendly. Why are there lesbians on the Hallmark Channel? And they're like, all right, we'll make the lesbians go away. And they stopped running the ads. And then everyone else is like, what is wrong with you people? Why did you take that commercial off the air? And they're like, no, we took them all off the air. And they're like, no, it's still wrong. So they put the ad back on.
It's pretty publicity either way.
But here's my problem.
Yeah, advertiser wins.
Yeah. Here's my problem. I work in this industry, okay? It's not a secret around.
Wedding industry?
No.
Do you get paid for this?
Advertising industry.
Okay.
All right.
It's all about targeted advertising. It's all about getting your ad in front of people who are the most likely to react to it. How many lesbians are watching heterosexual Christmas romance comedies on the Hallmark Channel?
I ask myself that question a lot.
This keeps you up at night, doesn't it?
This is like what your audience isn't even here.
Right.
Like, why is this ad running?
Yep.
Other than someone is trying to troll the Hallmark Channel. Well, point scored. You win.
Do you have access to the user data of the Hallmark Channel?
No, but I can tell you if 1 million moms can get a hold of the president of the company, We're talking about a lot of people in flyover country who spend their Sundays in church and their Fridays and Saturdays watching the Hallmark Channel.
All right. I'm not in the mood to argue. Later on.
Yeah, you don't want to get on the wrong side of a group called 100, you know, a million moms. That could be nasty. You're not getting cookies for Christmas if you piss them off.
They do a million mom march.
Yeah, I think there was a million mom march.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there must have been a million mad moms who then counter protested, and because it's back on the air now.
No, but the thing is, there were like 20 moms who showed up because the rest of them had stuff to do because they're moms. What are they trying to
say? There was a million mom march, and in May 14th, 2000, in Washington D.C., Rosie O'Donnell speaks at the Million Mom March. How would you like to hear that?
No.
That sounds Christmassy. No?
No.
Money
not to hear Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
All right. You
lots
sure?
of money.
It could be really
so
good, though.
No. Watch the Walmart channel?
Could right. possibly be. I'd rather chew on
tinfoil. Tomorrow you're going to hear the NRA saying that this many people were not here.
I can easily
but
done.
The fact yeah. is, there are 750,000 people here.
Did we know that Rosie O'Donnell was a lesbian at this point?
Oh, yeah.
She's always been.
Together,
she's,
at this point, we not only knew she was a lesbian, but she came out as an angry person.
So the same million
an annoying
moms.
Lesbian.
Well, she became
lesbian.
Annoying after that, but she had made comments in articles about how she hated when she was popular because she had to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And she just wanted to kill nice Rosie.
Yeah.
And so...
when she did it.
She did it.
Yeah.
She came out as angry, mean...
I don't understand why these people change in their careers. It's like, this is why we liked you to begin with. Why are you doing something completely different? Okay, you want to grow, but...
because you get enough money to not care anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
Or you think you have enough money to not care anymore.
Like, what was up with what's his name? What did Chris Gaines and he was the big Garth Brooks, and it was Chris Gaines that was like some weird guy, old rock guy with a goatee, right? And like, what is this guy doing? And I'm like, to me, still looked like a country star that was, you know. I'm like, what is going on here? But he gained more fans or less? Do you know?
I don't know.
No.
More. He got more fans off of that.
Look at Chappelle walking away from his show and not doing anything.
Oh, Chappelle was amazing. He was awesome. Amazing. He's still amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but he wasn't for 15 years.
Yeah, because everybody thought he was crazy.
I think he was unwell crazy. At that point in time.
I'm unwell, but I wouldn't walk away from what, $350 million, whatever it was. No. It was crazy. $20 million? Yeah.
It's never been a problem.
Eddie Murphy's on SNL this weekend. I'm excited about that. First time he's back since 1984. Yeah, it's fantastic. Dolomite. It's on Netflix.
In the spring, right?
Yeah. No, it's on now.
No, the Coming to America movie is coming out.
Yes, Coming to America 2 is coming out.
So there is a new SNL this weekend.
Yep.
Yeah,
good.
It's Eddie Murphy.
Awesome.
And I don't know who they got with him. I was hoping it was going to be Stevie Wonder. They were saying they were going to try to book Stevie Wonder with him.
Lizzo, whatever her name is.
Yes, it's Lizzo. So if you can't get Stevie Wonder, you get Lizzo.
That's not... comparable.
It's not even close.
In any way. We have nothing against Lizzo, but we're talking about Stevie Wonder here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I assume that's music.
The thing is it's like, I don't understand what they're doing there. So they still want to try to retain that young audience. You really think you're going to lose all the young audience if you put in Stevie Wonder with Eddie Murphy? Are people tuning in to see Lizzo and not Eddie Murphy?
Is anyone tuning in at all? They just watch the clips
Lizzo's
on YouTube.
Popular,
oh, okay. Well, that's true. No, I still try to watch Saturday's it every Saturday. I could.
And it's not funny.
Yeah.
Parts of it are.
When?
It depends who it is. It's like anything with an ensemble. You're only as good as the worst member.
I will say this. If you only see one movie this holiday season, you must see Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see this movie.
Discuss.
There are, and every now and again, every 10, 20 years, a movie comes along and you sit there and you watch it and you say, this changes everything. Blade Runner was one of those movies. Gaspar Noé's Irreversible was one of those movies. Most people can't sit through it because it's so bleak and dark. This movie changes things. This is what's next. This is an evolution of film storytelling and an absolutely killer performance, if you can believe that, by Adam Sandler. So he is a diamond seller in New York City with a bad gambling problem. And the film is all about him setting up the score of a lifetime. It is incredible. From beginning to end, it's not a movie that you watch so much as a movie that you endure, because it never slows down to let you catch your breath. There is stuff happening and stuff flying at you constantly throughout this movie, and it works. And it's just, it's got a little bit of that Scorsese vibe about it. It's got a little bit of a Ridley Scott feel to it in places. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty good.
And if you're a basketball fan, Kevin Garnett, ex of the Boston Celtics, is one of the major characters in this film.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The Safdie brothers. This is their second feature. And their first one was the same sort of, you know, chaotic, a lot of people yelling and arguing with each other and everything amped up. It works here, and it works brilliantly. And you just sit there and you watch it, and you're like, oh my God, like, when does this calm down? And the answer is not until the end credits roll.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good endorsement.
I have to check it out. That is a good endorsement.
Number two on my list for this year of the best films.
The Wachowski brothers, remember them that did The Matrix?
They're the Wachowskis now.
They're Wachowski sisters now, right?
I thought they were just going by the Wachowskis.
No, I read in a thing, the sisters.
Okay.
I don't get it. That's all. I don't have anything to add there. I just don't get it.
No, they're definitely not getting a movie on Hallmark Channel.
They both ended up. They did The Matrix, Cloud Atlas, which I thought was a great movie.
Never saw Cloud Atlas.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Fantastic. And they, so they come becoming. They both became women.
I dialed out on them after Matrix. I don't get
it. Yeah, it was Larry, and then it was Lana, and then the other one changes. Damn, I don't know. Weird.
Yeah, that's strange.
That's all. I'm just like, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, you could lop this off and turn me into a woman.
Hey, you know.
Why not?
What don't you want for Christmas?
So let's, it's almost 6 o'clock here. It's WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts.
We're waiting two judges.
My name is Tris Earle. I just hear it wow. Derek does hear it wow. And I do time travel. We meet up every year, so the past 7 years doing this. And we got seven judges, and they're going to go over the songs that Derek and myself play. We will do 10 songs, and basically we'll give a little intro to the song, and then afterwards everybody will vote on what they like the best. It should be a lot of fun. This is one of the ones I think I played. Oh, I was going to play it in the past, but I never did. Brenda Lee, her other famous song, because Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree was the famous one, and this one was I'm Gonna Lasso Santa Claus, which I think was from, I think it was even before, oh no, it was right after Rockin' Around Christmas Tree.
Oh wait, this isn't round one, is it? We're not like,
No.
Oh yeah.
No.
Okay,
no. No. Everybody all right? Ready for Christmas? No? Shopping?
Scrambling like crazy.
Got to get extra gifts for that grandkid.
So how many days do we officially have left for Christmas? Six?
Five shopping days left, I think. Yeah, six shopping days left.
Yeah. Well, you can get the...
But the Pats are
11 on the morning of it.
Yes.
Really...
Pats are on Saturday, so there's five shopping days left until Christmas. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're on late. They're not done until 4:30.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, you gotta...
It goes to the 30th.
You gotta go to the liquor store before the game.
Yeah.
That's shopping.